States author, musician, singer Al Cole, from a CBS radio background, now host of the syndicated talk show People of Distinction, celebrity interviews giving high-level public figures the chance to talk about their very special human feelings, too. Because celebrities are human beings, people, and we are all people of distinction. And when given the chance, we will all speak openly about the very reason for our birth, the energy and dedication of what we call love. Hey, and speaking of love, you're going to love these messages. On People of Distinction, we deliver the goods. Hey, it's Al Cole, host of the syndicated talk show People of Distinction, throwing the spotlight on another one of my guests of distinction, this time a wonderful creative force in our world, the dynamic Leonard Durso. Leonard's the author of a gripping new book, Rizzo's World. It's a mystery novel, and you know what? I want you to stay with me here because, well, I'm going to present you with the mystery. Why would Leonard Durso, a very nice, very intelligent, very well-adjusted college professor, who also grew up with brothers who were Irish, Spanish, Italian, and Chinese, ever move to Turkey and write a mystery novel about murder? Whoa there, you give up? Well, to find out the answer, you're going to have to read his book, Rizzo's World, and the first step you can take to reading it and solving the mystery for yourself is by running to this website. Go to leonarddurso.com. That's www.leonarddurso.com, and order this amazing mystery novel, Rizzo's World. Of course, Rizzo's World is also available on Amazon.com. But you know what? Hey, I'm going to help you out with a few clues to help you solve the mystery, too. And it's straight out of the plot of Rizzo's World itself. Rizzo, the main character, is a man of habits and routine. He walks his dog at 11 o'clock every night. He has a problem with commitments, even with his wife, until his best friend is murdered. Then, wow! Rizzo's hooked, and like a bloodhound, he's on the trail. And if it's got you hooked, too, I want you to run to this website and order Leonard Durso's stunning mystery novel, Rizzo's World. Go to leonarddurso.com. That's www.leonarddurso.com. It's Al Cole. We're here on People of Distinction, the talk show that edifies as it entertains and informs. I tell you, you're going to love those messages. Hey, I'm also the author of the exciting new book, Al Cole Romance for Women. I'll tell you, you know, at last a book of sensual love poetry to women and the needed spiritual relationship guidance to both women and men. Happy to say that my book, Al Cole Romance for Women, is now available on Kindle, and I'd like to thank all of my Al Cole-holics who have bought it and also benefited from it, too. That's Al Cole Romance for Women, A-L-C-O-L-E, Romance for Women, now available on Kindle. Thousands and thousands of women, guys too, listen to my talk shows, People of Distinction, every week, and they contact me with their questions, reflections, and comments at alcoholic@gmail.com. You heard me right there. That's alcoholic@gmail.com. So without any further ado, hey, we get into it. Hey, it's syndicated radio talk show host, author, singer, Al Cole, welcoming you to another edition of People of Distinction, the talk that gives an in-depth view of some of the most dynamic, intelligent, and successful people on the planet. Well, I come from CBS Radio, pretty successful that way, and I've helped pave the way to treating women, guys too, with the dignity that they deserve. With my new book, it's called The Spirit of Romance. All right, so we all love romance, and sometimes we we don't really seem to love it as much as we should, because the way that we define romance is pretty restrictive a lot of times. It's just, the occasional honoring of the person that we say we love the most in this world, and, you know, maybe some other relationships that are primary relationships every once in a while. All right, so we get polite, genteel, and, especially maybe that first date, bottle of white wine, all of the accoutrements of love. and the fireplace and all of these things. I mean, you know, we consider that to be, oh yeah, that's romantic. But if we expand our definition here of romance to the loving relationship that we all enter into with life itself, whoa there. I mean, that's 24/7 stuff. Because whether we want to or not, whether we realize it or not, we're in a relationship, a loving relationship, a romantic relationship with life itself. Why? Because we came out of that womb that way. I mean, just think about it. Even if you don't remember, I'm going to remember for you. You came out of that womb and you said, wow, I made it. I'm here. I'm alive. What a revelation. That is the biggest gift of all, the greatest blessing of all, is to be alive at all. When we start to realize that again, re-realize it, now we can recharge those batteries periodically. We can feel a part of life, part of existence. Now, that's why I name my show People of Distinction, because it gets out that brand of professional people elevating our human family through their professional work. And that professional work is very close to home with the personal ideologies. You know, all of the things that we consider to be precious in our life. Well, these things are all romantic because romance involves love and it involves relationships. And we can have that primary relationship of love with ourselves first. When we introspect, you know, take some time out, take some alone time, get to know ourselves and get to know our real directions in life, the things that we love. And then we give love. All right. Like an energy. Well, it can be transmitted, transferred outward, sometimes without even a word being said. And we love that brand. On People of Distinction, we're all born romantics. Hey, so we lay the groundwork that way. Coming up, hey, a guy with quite a family background here. He's here to share that. His name is Leonard Durso. And he's also here to share a great book that he just completed. It's called Rizzo's World. It's essentially a crime mystery. Whoa there. We're going to get into it. Find out all about Rizzo's World from Leonard Durso. And a little bit about his family background, too. Very different. He's been involved with the Boy Scouts of America in Toledo. Yeah, Toledo, Ohio. And we're going to be talking about that, too. We like to focus a little bit about on humanitarian directions, and Leonard's just right for that. He is head of English language programs in Turkey, and that's part of his background, I think. Maybe a world traveler here, cosmopolitan kind of guy. I would get into that a little bit, too. And he's very interested in the arts. So, hey, look forward to a great show here from very intelligent, articulate man, Leonard Durso. And if you want to know more, as you're listening to, you know, the great explications of what he is going to be laying down here, run to this website and you can learn more too. LeonardDurso.com, Leonard, regular spelling, Durso, D-U-R-S-O.com. Welcome, Leonard, to People of Distinction with Al Cole. It's really a pleasure to have you on today. How are you, Leonard?
Well, I'm fine. Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here. I'm honored, actually.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's quite an honor to have you on, too. Somebody who really comes from quite a background, family background, and maybe that's the first thing we should concentrate on. Just introduce yourself to my listening audience and tell us a little bit about your family background, Leonard.
Okay, well, I guess everything that I've ever done and everything that I ever am really comes from my family. And everything, any interest I had, any accomplishments I've done, it really started there. My parents were first generation born Italian Americans, and they were foster parents in the 1950s and 60s when that wasn't such a popular thing to do. And my mother had two rules on accepting children into the home. Based on availability of bedrooms, of course. One, they had to be boys because she didn't want to have girls. It'd be too confusing and too problematic. And two, everybody had to be Catholic because she wanted to send us all to the same place every Sunday. Mm. So we all went to 9 o'clock mass together. And at a time, I had at least three brothers each time, and they were from different ethnic and racial backgrounds. You know, I've had Italian American, again, Irish, two Chinese, a mulatto, Spaniard, and also a Scot Irish. So that was, and then yeah, three at a time. And as one would leave, we'd get another one in. I still have three brothers in my family. The two Chinese and the Irish men are still part of my my family. As a matter of fact, when I was in New York just recently, I had a barbecue at my brother Johnny's house in New Jersey. Johnny's Chinese, his wife is Mexican American, and my brother, the Irish brother, and his Malaysian wife were with us. And my youngest, oldest nephew, my brother's child, just became a dentist. So it was a nice time. And so my background with immigrants and with other cultures really started there, because I was used to seeing people that looked different than me sitting across the table. Also, reading and writing started there. My mother was an avid book reader. She joined, I don't know how many book clubs, plus enrolled me in several book clubs and encouraged me to read. If I ever got bored, she'd say, pick up a book. My father read three newspapers a day, so he was very well informed. If you talked to him, you had to know the facts. You couldn't just have an opinion. You had to back it up. And so I learned about the world through books, and my love of writing started there. I actually tried to write books when I was like 6-7 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't keep any of them, thank God. You know, I was beginning with that too. And so, in terms of the arts, painting, museums, my brothers and I used to go have a museum club. We'd go every Saturday into the city to a different museum. To enjoy it, explore it, find out what it was about, and we would bring some friends with us, and that was kind of, we did that for a few years actually, my brother Johnny and I, and then my love of a film also. My mother again was a big movie fanatic, and I even have a collection of DVDs, over 1,000, in my own personal library. Of all kinds of movies, except horror films. I'm not too crazy about horror films. I get nightmares. But I have a lot of foreign films, a lot of Asian cinema, French cinema, some Russian, Turkish cinema, because I'm here. What else? Well, and, you know, a lot of things like that. I'm a big film noir person, you know. And that also influences my writing.
Yeah. Well, before we get into your writing, we don't want to get too far adrift here.
Sure.
I want to focus on one thing at a time here. Family background. This is really, really something, Leonard. You're a cosmopolitan kind of guy. Your family proves it. Even a Chinese brother. We love that. In fact, I'm an African American man. Can I be an honorary member of your family?
Sure. Next barbecue, I'll invite you.
Look at this. Yeah, see, we love New that
Jersey.
On people of distinction.
I hope you want to go to New Jersey.
We love that on people of distinction, because ultimately, people, you know, we talk about it all the time. We are part of a human family, and we love guests like Leonard, who are living expositors of that, too. So we're going to get into his book now, Rizzo's World, and you can get into the book, too, by going to his website, leonardderso.com. It's also available on Amazon. And we're going to turn some pages in the book. I guess starting with the title here, Why Rizzo's World? What does that say about the content of the book, Leonard?
Well, okay. It's a character-driven mystery love story. And Rizzo, the main character, it's really about him and his world of people that he associates with, and his family, and how they all affect him. Also, Rizzo's World is the name of his column in a magazine that he does, that he writes for. So it's the name of his column, plus it's also about his world. And his world basically revolves around New York, though his wife is, his estranged wife, is a Turkish pop star. And she lives in Turkey and only comes to America periodically to do some recording, maybe a tour. And they've been separated for over 10 years. And he has a 20-year-old daughter who he barely knows. She was mostly raised in Turkey. And he's been kind of a poor example of a husband and a father. And through the one of his two best friends gets murdered in Istanbul, Jamal, who's a photographer for the magazine. And he goes back for the funeral and gets more or less talked into staying and trying to find the killers of his friend by Jamal's niece, cousin, and also by his daughter. And through the investigation, he becomes more and more involved with his family. And he gets to know his daughter, and he gets to rekindle the romance with his wife. And so it helps him become a better person and also a family man. Finally, he learns what it is to be a father and even a husband through this mystery. And that's really what it's about. And the book takes place both in New York and in Istanbul. And it goes back and forth between the two places in this quest to find the killer.
Isn't that a good rundown? You know, I'm going to ask you a question here. Earlier, you said that you're not a fan of horror movies. And yet, you're writing a crime murder mystery.
Yeah, but there's nobody getting just tortured or...
Uh-huh. Okay.
No chainsaws or anything like that.
Yeah, I get it. All right. So we're talking about peaceful crime here, people, and we love that.
Well, I mean, there is some shooting, you know, the beating here and there. But you know, it's not... I mean, about the only kind of horror film I could handle would be something by Hitchcock, for instance, you know, mm-hmm. Psycho or The Birds.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can't watch, you know, Day of the Living Dead and, you know, chainsaw murders or whatever they are. And Halloween, my brother used to teach, my youngest brother loves horror films, and he used to tease me. He would do that like that, you know, mm-hmm. when a movie would start and watch me get up and leave the room. But, you know, I have a very vivid imagination. And so watching a horror film, I start to think about it too much. And, it haunts me.
You know, I want to, we have a lot of artistic people out there that listen to People of Distinction. And especially some of the younger people who listen on the iTunes radio network across the country. Mm-hmm. And... even though I'm a writer, but I don't write novels, but I know something about the writing technique of novels. There are two ways. Now, there are a million ways. Having said that, there are a million ways that one can write a novel. And then if we boil it down to two easy ways here, you can write it from the beginning to end, or you can write it from the end to the beginning.
Right.
Now, I want to ask you this. Because I love getting a little bit analytical about art and especially literature. Did you have in mind the way that you wanted to end Rizzo's World right from the start when you started to write Rizzo's World?
Well, I had an idea where I was going, but I wasn't sure how I'd actually get there. And the ending changed a bit as I moved along. You know, the characters pretty much tell you what they want to do, and you just follow them, you know. The book really started, I mean, with Rizzo. I have a line that he walks his dog at 11 o'clock. It's a habit that he's gotten into, that his dog won't let him break. And that became the beginning of my idea of who Rizzo was, you know, a man of habits and a routine. But he also has a dog. Well, he had a dog, but the dog is he gets a new dog. And there's a reference to an older dog he had that had no name, and he has trouble naming dogs. And so this also became a part of my idea of this character. You know, he has a problem with commitment. And so from those two things, a creature of habit and also a man who has problem with commitments, this character started to develop. And his relationships with people started to develop. And I knew he had a wife and that they were not together anymore, that she was Turkish and that he had a daughter he barely knew. And so you have this character and how he gets involved with these people, being non-committal but having to finally commit And so that's how it really went. And even though I knew at the end that they would have to, I wanted a happy ending, but I also a resolution. I had an agent years ago, and I wrote a mystery actually with this character Rizzo. He's been with me a long time, and it was a down ending. You know, the mystery was not solved. Good guys died. You know, and my agent said to me, he said, you know, people read mysteries because they want to have a resolution. They don't want to have a down ending. You know, though there have been examples of that, of course, since then. But so he said, and also he told me another thing. You have to kill somebody people like. So with those two things in mind, I decided how the ending would kind of happen. Not to give away anything, but it moves along to a resolution. And there is a death in there beyond Jamal that happens, you know, that leads to, you know, Rizzo again having to confront himself. So I knew that. So that's really what it started with. And I also had a hangout because he was a creature of habit. He goes to this one place every day called Jake's Tavern. By Union Square, and he meets his childhood friend Peter there, who's also a columnist for the same magazine, and they drink all day. And so again, it's this habits that he does all the time, and that's part of the reason why his marriage didn't work. You know, he spent more time in the bar than he did, you know, at home. and he has to deal with that too. And as the book progresses, actually he does less drinking. Not that he gets reformed totally, but he starts to, start to drink less and less at his daughter's urging, but also as he starts to develop as a real human being, you know, as opposed to this kind of burned out guy. You know?
Leonard, so, I'm going to ask you a question here that only another writer could ask a writer. I'm not only a writer, but I'm also singer, musician, songwriter. I'm involved very much in the arts. Yeah, always have been. I want to ask you something here, and I'm going to make a quick preface before I actually ask the question. And this goes out to my listening audience. All right, everybody out there, even if you're not a writer, even if you're not a creative person in the sense of, you know, the arts, the way that we usually see it, I don't think it comes to any big surprise to any of you that sometimes artists feel that they are kind of like the intermediary, that they're in the antenna picking up something universal, you know, some sort of statement out there that needs to be said, and they're the ones who are saying it. They are used as the, you know, the vehicle for putting this wonderful statement together. And sometimes the wonderful statement can involve some of the not so wonderful things that happen in our worlds, such as crime, etc. So that being said and explained, Leonard, what did you learn from your own book? How did you feel that maybe the universe, if we want to put it that way, was giving you something that you could write about so that people could enjoy, people could learn from? And in the whole process there, the universe might have been saying, hey, we want you to learn something here too. How did you gain from your own book writing here?
Oh, okay. Actually, I agree with you. I think we are antennas. I think most creative people feel that way. And all the people I know basically feel that way. That something comes from somewhere else and it just uses us, you know, to some extent to articulate what needs to be articulated. And when I get writing, you know, it's not just this book. I've written other books too, and I tend to focus on characters and people, and I tend to look for reformation, you know, some kind of a internal change that manifests itself in the outside world, that a character is reformed in some way, and I think that's helped me. Try to stay on the straight and narrow, so to speak. I try to be a better person, and I think that the books, the writing, helps me try to do that and try to understand people, try to look at people from their point of view, not just my own. My father used to say this, you know, because he read, again, three newspapers a day, and he would say, you don't understand anybody until you try to stand in their shoes and look from their eyes out to the world. And I've tried to do that with the writing. I've tried to see what other people see. And hopefully that would teach me something about not only the world, but myself and my place in it, you know. And so all the books, and not just mysteries. I mean, I've written, primarily I write what I consider, I call human comedy, you know, to quote Balzac, actually. You know, it's books that are about people stumbling through life, trying to get along with each other and hopefully find some peace and some love. And so a lot of my books are love stories. I have a couple that are multi-character, you know, 10, 12 major characters all bouncing around the world and the rooms each and bumping into each other and trying to somehow or other connect. And I think that's what I've learned a bit too, how to try to connect with people, try to understand people, and the reading does that also. You know, I read a lot, and I read all kinds of things, not just fiction, but I read a lot of history, and so I see the human dilemma. You know, it's always been here. We've constantly make the same mistakes. In the same places, pretty much, and we don't learn from that. And I'd like to learn. I'd like to be not only a better person, but I'd like to help people understand better ways of doing things, you know, of connecting with each other. Because I had to do that as a kid. You know, I had to learn to live with other people, you know, and in my own home, you know, and who were not like me. And my work with immigrants, you know, has been that way. You know, I've always been interested in other cultures and how people think and how people feel and how we're all basically the same. You know, I mean, I live in Turkey now. I've been living here for over 7 years now, and I love this place. By the way, I love Turkish people, and I love the culture. And the culture is very rich, not just the Turkish culture, but. You know, Turkey was home to Greeks and to Romans and to the Seljuks and to the, you know, the Persians. I mean, everybody was here at one time or another. It was the beginning or the end of the Silk Road, depending on how you look at it. And that's fascinating to me. And I've traveled around the country and I've gone to these different places, you know, historical places. And I've read a lot about it and always have, and Greek mythology and all that, you know, stuff from when I was a kid. And I want to understand how we still make a mess of things, you know, and why do we do that, and how can we stop it? And you look at things that are going on in the U.S. today, even here in Turkey and in the rest of the world, you know, it's just that we never seem to learn, you know, to get along with each other. Fear dominates the dialogue a lot of times. Fear of the other, you know, and there is no other. We're all the same, really. You know, I mean, that's what I've found.
Well, absolutely.
And so we have to understand that there is, again, no other at all. It's just us.
You know, and I like the way you're putting it. I'm going to jump in here for a quick reflection, and before I do, hey, we're going to reflect on this book again, Rizzo's World. Great new crime mystery by Leonard Durso, our special guest here today on People of Distinction with Al Cole. I want you to run to this website and order Rizzo's World. If you're into crime mysteries, if you're into, well, I'm going to, this is my language, not necessarily Leonard's, but peaceful murders, things that involve, you know, a learning curve here. You're going to love this. Go to LeonardDurso.com. That's www.LeonardDurso.com. It's also available on Amazon. Rizzo's World by our special guest here today, Leonard Durso on People of Distinction. And, you know, I'm going to reflect on something that you were last saying, Leonard. Living in Turkey, loving the culture, loving the people. We know that we live in turbulent times here, and Turkey, is a part of it as far as, American thinking. The Middle East, as we get closer to Asia, we think that, they're a foreign culture. We can't relate to those people. Many are Muslims. And we tend to think that, maybe they are people who need our edification. They need a little bit more of a Western influx. They are a developing country, a developing area of the world. Well, guess what, people? And this goes out to you, my listening audience. The longest running empire the world has ever seen, not the American Empire, not the UK Empire, the English Empire, British Empire. No, it was the Ottoman Empire. And that is essentially Turkey and that area. Now, if we're now in the 21st century talking about, these poor, developing nations, we got to look at our own history here. And we have to be honest about why we think that they're developing when we're really the developing nations. We haven't even been on the map all that long here, people. So a little bit of equal time for fair play here. And Asia, Africa, Middle East, these areas have been around, you could say, throughout time immemorial. If human history goes back 5,000 years, and it does, written history, any sort of history that we think we can rely upon, Babylonia, Mesopotamia, the Middle East, Africa, Asia, all of these areas were the developing areas for mankind. So we have to applaud a lot of the things that the sensitivities of Leonard Durso, as well as the creative abilities, living in what we consider to be, an off-limits culture. But he's doing very, very fine, thank you. And so I want to put the emphasis one more time on his website here. Go in, investigate all the beautiful things that this wonderful man is doing, Leonard Durso. com.
That's a really great thing you said, Al.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're so right. You really are right. I mean, there's nothing developing here. These people are developed. If anything, the U.S. has a tendency to think that they have to point their finger and tell everybody what they're doing wrong. And yet they don't look at themselves very much, And the old saying, every time you point a finger, three more point back at you. There's a lot wrong in the U.S. that has to be corrected. And there are problems here, sure. There are problems everywhere, No country is perfect. No culture is perfect. But there's a lot of really good things here. And a lot of wonderful things came out of this country, and this culture. And the Middle East, is... a fascinating place.
Absolutely.
But Turkey's not exactly, also people think of Turkey, they kind of lump it in there with Arabia, and it's not.
Yeah.
There's no sand, no camels here. we have real grass and palm trees and stuff like that along the middle. I mean, this is a real vibrant city. For instance, Istanbul sits on two continents, Asia and Europe. It's a crossroads. And it's been here for 2,500 years.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, so we get the record straight here on People of Distinction with Al Cole. And we have some minutes left in the interview, Leonard. So I want to take it out in the minutes that we have left with a couple of things. One, going from Turkey to the U.S. in Toledo, the Boy Scouts of America, you've been involved with that. Just a couple of minutes here, tell us a little bit about some of the things that you saw with the Boy Scouts of America in Toledo at that time.
Well, that was the late 60s, early 70s. And during the Model Cities time, Johnson legacy. I was just out of college and I wanted to make a difference. And I worked in an inner city area of Toledo. Actually, it was the poorest area of Toledo. You try to start Boy Scout troops and Cub Packs, when kids wear their you need parents, and obviously a lot of times there were only single parents, or both parents were working. They had no time to do this, and so I tried to develop different programs to get the kids, you know, working. We used college students as leaders, you know, to help. And I had inner city jamborees and inner city. I had a warehouse actually of used uniforms and stuff that we would give kids. You know, we had fundraising things, and I even had my own Boy Scout troop for 2 years. Because I went to this one troop and I couldn't get a scoutmaster because the last scoutmaster had taken the money that they raised to buy tents and kept it. And he was living in the neighborhood. Nobody pressed charges. I mean, you know, the people expected this kind of thing. But so there were a lot of suspicion, and I couldn't get anybody to take over this troop. And I kept going back every week, you know. And finally, one of the kids said to me, "Yeah, you're not coming back anymore, are you?" And I said, no. Next week I'll be back, and I'll be back with your scoutmaster." And I showed up next week with a scout shirt on, and I became their scoutmaster. And we would go camping, and you know, and it was a wonderful experience. I learned a lot, you know, about again people and how people were really not different. You know?
Yeah, and very quickly here, is it? Would you think it's pretty much the same these days, or have the Boy Scouts really transitioned, changed over all of this period of time?
Well, I would hope so. You know, the Boy Scouts were a very conservative, you know, almost a paralegal military organization at one point. And you had a lot of people that drifted to that, you know, a lot of leaders. And that's really the scouting program actually is about developing self-reliance. And it's about the troops are run by the kids, not the adults. That's the real way to run it. And when I was a Boy Scout, and I was a senior patrol leader, and I ran my troop. And the scoutmaster just advised me, but he didn't tell me what to do, you know. And I learned from that. So when I started my troop, I did the same thing. I picked leaders, kids that I thought had leadership potential, and I tried to develop them. But I also gave them, you know, responsibility, and they would either rise or fall depending on their own abilities. I had a really great experience. You know, these kids, I had four scouts make a star. I don't know if you know that, but that's pretty good. I mean, several of them. And that's the first time anyone ever got past second class in that troop. And I was real proud of those kids, you know. And I had black and white kids working together, you know. And there was no resentment or fighting and no racial problems. I mean, there were occasional fights because this was a tough troop. But what we would do is if there was an argument between the two kids, we'd put on boxing gloves and we'd form a circle and we'd let them box for, you know, 3 1-minute rounds. And no one really got hurt because they had gloves on. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, refereed it. And the kid whose idea this was, he was my junior assistant scoutmaster. He was an 18-year-old kid. His father had been a Golden Gloves champ in Toledo. And so he's the one who brought up the idea. And it was a great, great way. And they all got, you know, they got whatever they wanted to get out done. And no one really got hurt. And they learn not to fight outside, you know, but to fight, to bring it inside and let's solve the problems here as a family. And that's what they really became, a family. And that's what I experienced the same thing with my ESL programs in New York, you know, not in Turkey so much, but in New York we had ESL programs. And I just had reunions when I was back in New York, 2 reunions with former student and staff members of mine. And my staff were almost all immigrants. And they had all been ESL students at one time or another. And they all spoke, you know, they're bilingual, some trilingual. And they came from different backgrounds. And they were leaders. And they were actually resented by a lot of the college the departments because they were younger than everybody else. They were multi-ethnic and racial. And that wasn't true in the college. Even though it was in New York, it still was different, you know. And it was a wonderful experience. And again, it was a family. And these people, you know, became, they're still all great friends. And they're from different countries, over 70 countries, over 30 some odd languages that they spoke. And they all became, you know, a cohesive unit. And it was a wonderful experience. And that's what really makes me feel great, you know. And even the program, we taught culture, you know, so that they would learn about what America was, and what it still is, and what it could be, you know. And we would do units on African Americans, on Hispanics, on Asian Americans, on Native Americans, and we would watch films, we'd read books, we did plays, we did Raisin in the Sun, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
And I assigned parts to them, you know, mm-hmm. and they would all act it out. They'd bring in props, they put on costumes. We did Death of a Salesman. We did The Crucible, so they'd learn about witch hunting, you know, and the Salem witchcraft trials, and also the McCarthy period. And so they really learned a lot about what America was.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
And it was a great thing, you know, and I was never able to recreate that. But it was a great time.
We love that. And in some little way, we're going to recreate it here in the last few minutes of the show. We're going to take it out with something that I think you'll be able to reflect on here, and something that I think my listeners, especially the younger people, will really like. Before we do that, one more time, Rizzo's World is what we're really talking about here. Leonard's new book, Leonard Durso, a special guest on People of Distinction with Al Cole. And I want you to run to this website, order Rizzo's World. Go to leonarddurso.com. It's also available on Amazon. In the last few minutes of the show, Leonard, I want to take it out with young people here and how they can profit by writing. And when we say profit, now, that's a double entendre because, usually we'll think of profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, and with that, we'll typically think of money profit, you know, how younger people can get out there and write that smashing new novel that's going to, sell a million copies and they'll become millionaires. That's not quite the People of Distinction emphasis here. It's profiting by maybe helping other people in our human family to learn a little bit better about their own thoughts, about their own feelings. And maybe now that profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, can also be used as P-R-O-P-H-E-T. Mm-hmm. We can be prophets that way when we serve others, and particularly through writing. You've been there, you've done that. In the last couple of minutes of the show here, I want you to inspire some of our younger people who really need that inspiration to write their thoughts, even if they're not going to be professional writers, to learn to put their thoughts down on a piece of paper or typing them up and then review their thoughts later. And wow, the epiphany happens. Give us a little bit of that inspiration about how great it is to express yourself in words.
Actually, because I have a blog and I do blog on WordPress, a lot of I follow 1,300 people, and they follow me, and I read a lot of posts that people do, and these are all people writing, young, old, in between, and they are expressing themselves, they are getting out their feelings. It's sometimes it's like journal writing, where they're talking about what happened to them during the day, or how they, maybe they're getting over a relationship or they're getting into a relationship and what they think about that. Also, a lot of people write about abuse. They've suffered from abuse, whether it's substance or physical, emotional abuse by parents or by other partners or whatever. And they write about that to get it out. And it's very, very good, very good therapy in that sense, and some of it's heartbreaking. When you read it, but it helps them understand the healing process, and so writing can do all of that. It can help you express the joy you have or the sorrow you have. It can help you grow as a person. It can also help you overcome some difficulties in your life, and even understand how those things came about, and that you were a victim. You didn't cause it. And this is important because I had a foster brother who was beaten to death by his parents when he went back to them. And so that's always been a topic that's been a sensitive topic for me. And when I read these posts of people who've overcome abuse, I'm really proud of them, and I see how they've learned how to deal with that pain, And I think it can do all that. And writing is really, it's an avenue to yourself, you know, you get on this road of self-discovery, and you find out things that you didn't necessarily realize before, because you didn't see it in black and white, or you didn't see it down there in the physical world, you know. And that's a great, great, great benefit for everyone, I think.
It certainly is.
And you, I know you would understand that, certainly.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I'm going to add my two cents here to Leonard's great work and Leonard's great words about writing. People, I do both. I've been involved in music. I'm involved in writing. And they're two different art forms. And I find that as a writer, it actually is more taxing on the mind. There's something called self-indulgence that sometimes you can get away with music, because with music, you're performing, and sometimes people don't, you know, they don't see the boundaries between the actual musical competition, sometimes it is competition, composition, and the actual performing of that. There are two different aspects, and you can, you know, add showmanship to your music that way. And music has a way of sometimes half writing itself, because there are just so many notes that you can use and just so many chord progressions that you can use anyway. So there's a big similarity. But when you look at words, well, there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of variations that you can put together. And they all come from something that is integral to your own soul, hopefully, that's integral to your life experience, something that you want to say that maybe has been said before, but it comes out of your experience or desire to have certain experiences, and you learn from them even more than you would learn maybe from your own musical compositions. It is directive. And as we were talking about earlier, when I asked Leonard, you know, what has he learned from his own work? It's easier to ask a writer that sometimes than it is a musician or a composer, because writers are in the trenches. They're working with thoughts all the time. They're working with feelings all the time. And so my final word to you, the potential writers of this world, but also everybody who ever had a feeling or a thought that they considered to be important, put it down in words and review it maybe after a day or two. And even if you say, well, no, that's not really professional stuff, look at it as if somebody else had written it, a person who you respect, a person who you love, and maybe just in their casual time, not even professionally, they wrote it as some sort of edification for you, as some sort of way to get you directed on something that they knew that you wanted to be directed on. You see it that way. Now it's not so much self-indulgence. Now it is love-oriented. Wow, somebody out there cared enough for me to write this down, send it to me as something that could maybe elevate me as a human person, as the soul of who I am. See it that way. Once you start seeing it that way, you're going to know that everybody else has that capacity to get deep, to get intelligent, to feel their feelings very, very deeply, and to offer you so much guidance. You'll open up your mind to other people's directions as well as your own just by notating some of the thoughts that you have and the feelings that you have on paper, or most usually these days, in a computer file. And then review it a few days later, people, and you're going to love it. On People of Distinction, we talk this way, especially when we have a great guest like Leonard Durso, wrote the wonderful book here, Rizzo's World, if you're into, you know, crime mysteries here that have a real underlying message for our human family. Then go to this website, order it. Go to leonarddurso.com. It's also available on Amazon. Thank you, Leonard, for being my special guest on People of Distinction. with Al Cole. I invite you back anytime for updates on all of your great work and as you progress even more as a human being, because we're always learning. Love to hear more of your thoughts at some point on my show in the future. Thank you so much, Leonard.
Well,
it's really been my pleasure. So until next time, people, wish you peace, awareness, romance, and mostly love.